Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Thank you. Hello, God bless you. I feel the love. Big hug. Please be seated. Make yourselves comfortable. I didn't actually know that, Pastor Ken. I should make him my PR manager, eh? That was a great introduction. So great to be here. Big thanks to you, Pastor Ken, Chrissy, for the opportunity. Great to meet Pastor Rick for the first time. Apologies. I tend to say to people, like, have we met before? Because nothing worse than saying, nice to meet you. Oh, yeah, we met, you know, a few months ago. You know what I mean? So it's great to be here. Let me just check you all out. Ken Fletcher and I go back 100 years. Just about. And I remember your pastors, your senior pastors, when they were in youth group. That's how long I've been around. I tell you what, I can tell you just about, I think I prophesied over just about every pastor, senior pastor in Perth when they were in kids' church, just about. That's when you know you've been around for a while. So give me a wave if you don't know me. You never heard of me. I love this because just when I think I've saturated the nation and people are bored of me, there's always people who haven't heard of me. So love you to meet you. My bottom line is this: your pastors love me, so should you. That's just it. Yes? That's just the bottom line. So I'm a Perth girl originally. So yes, born and bred in WA. And don't be fooled by the Simpson name. I have Italian blood in these veins. I got the name Simpson from this bloke. Have you got the photo of my hubby? Wacky. Here he is. So this is the story. It's my husband, Damien Simpson. Hashtag Speedy Simpson. I married an architect. And I thought, awesome. I'm never going to have another financial care in the world. Right? Great earning potential. And as a living by faith travelling ministry since 1992, I thought, oh, praise God. This is a blessing of God. So about 7 years ago, he decided to give that up to fulfil his dream of being a long distance runner. People say, oh, there's money in running. No. No. So we're both basically living by faith. But anyway, he does all right for an old bloke. So there he is. So my husband, Damien, I married a Skip, and I got the Simpson name. And we live on the northern beaches of Sydney. My husband was supposed to be flying in Christmas Eve for Christmas. We were going to have a family Christmas. I hadn't seen my mum all year. So hence, I'm flying back. So yeah, our family Christmas has gone up in smoke, and I'm going to join my husband in isolation because I can't leave him there by himself. So that's what love is, right? I could stay here and say, well, babe, all the best. But that's true love, right? Because it's going to have a whole lot of other ramifications that could possibly stop me travelling in for the first half of the year. But anyway, what a year. Hey, I'd say 2020 for me has been brutal and beautiful at the same time. Terrible and terrific all at once. The Lord said to me at the outset, this is going to be a season of divine paradox. Divine paradox. I went, what way? And he just started to run these scenarios. Like, it's going to look like decrease, but it's actually going to be increase. It's going to look like death, but it's going to be life. It's going to look like disconnection, but it's actually going to bring greater connection. You know, it's going to look like scatter, but in actual fact, it's going to bring gather. And that's what it's been for me. And I lost the years of ministry overnight. So obviously all my itinerary literally wiped out. That's my work. I'm not on staff of a church. That is you know, how the Lord provides. And we literally went into a full-blown panic attack. I'm not even joking. It was like hardcore. And Damien lost half of his business. He's still freelancers as an architect. And I'm like, what are we going to do? And I tell you what, and I'm used to this. You know, Pastors Ken and Chrissy know, I've lived by faith for a long time. But this was next level. Next level, but God provided. And we don't live in a cheap part of Sydney. We don't live in an expensive place, but we're in a, you know, when we moved from Adelaide to Sydney, our living expenses quadrupled. So it's always been a stretch. But God has blown our minds. Honestly, it's just incredible how he has provided. I have made friends. I have. Now you Perth people, okay. I've got to clarify because that sounds funny to you. That sounds funny to you because you haven't. Your lockdown was nothing. Okay, you got to. Okay, I live in Sydney. We've only just been permitted to sing at church in the last week with masks. 1 week and it's already, the church is closed. We can't gather anymore. So we didn't gather for months. Do you understand? The only way I'm meeting people is online. And I have made friends. I've met the prophets. I've gathered the prophets of Australia. We formed some great, connections. And I've made a friend of this prophet in Northern Ireland who I never would have met. I preached for the first time in Italy. I've been praying for 25 years to get opportunity to minister in Italy. And how does it come? At the very time I can't get on a plane. I preached online at a women's conference. Roma, Milano, Perugia. And I did my introduction in Italian, did my own intro, but I do not have enough Christian vocabulary to preach the whole thing. I was not brought up in an Italian Christian household. We had a different vocabulary. Any Italians here? You know what I'm talking about? So, anyway. I'd love you to consider this message as not one of the last of 2020, but one of the first of 2021. I'd love to help position you for the year ahead. I'm just going to be throwing all sorts of thoughts and ideas here. And as I was praying for you, I kept getting these words, equip. Equip. And I really believe that God is going to redefine what it is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And I just saw incredible equipping and empowerment taking place amongst you as a church. And there's going to be new ways and new strategies of doing that. And some of you people who have kind of excluded yourself from the idea of ministry, you've thought that's just for a certain type of person. You know, that's for the people who have gone to Bible college or people who have more extroverted personality or, you know, people who stand up on a platform like me. I just believe that God is going to bring a revelation of the inclusion of ministry. I believe that diversity and inclusion are godly concepts that have been hijacked by a political agenda. And I believe that the glory of God is demonstrated through the individuality of believers. Yes, yes there's a corporate culture, there's a kingdom culture, there are distinctives from church to church, but God's made you individual and unique. And I just see, we've had this idea of full-time ministry. I believe it's going to shift to the idea of ministering full-time. That applies to everyone. No matter who you are, where you come from, where you are in the community, where the rubber of your life hits the road, that we are all called, no matter what season of life we are in, I believe God is going to do something in the with the baby boomer generation. I believe too many baby boomers have felt like they've been bypassed, put on the shelf now. I believe that fathers and mothers in the faith are really going to rise up. But it doesn't matter what generation that you represent. Because today I want to bring some good news and I want to raise your awareness of what you already have. I feel so many Christians, don't have a revelation of what they've already got. You know, it's one thing to come and, I'm going to bring and deposit and impart something new. But I really feel the Lord just wants to bring an awareness of what you already have. So, that was a long introduction, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that your word is alive, living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank you, Lord Jesus, right now for every person here tonight. Lord, I don't know everyone by name, but you do. I don't know what everyone's going through personally and individually or even what it took for them to be here tonight. that you do. And I love, Lord, how you can take what I say and speak it to each person right where they're at. So Holy Spirit, I pray, have your way and have your say. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's talk for a moment about the Spirit-led life. The Spirit-led life. I really believe the book of Acts is prophetic for us. Yes. I really do. If you read the book of Acts, have a look. Just to reacquaint yourself with it. Can I just give you a little bit of homework? You know, just if you can fit it in before the end of the year. Have a look at the book of Acts. Have a look at how those guys lived. Yes. Have a look at their, you know, divine encounters, the way they were led. The way they did, you know, their lives and ministry. Many of those people in today's definition would be written off as super spiritual. And I believe God wants to set us free of some fears of the supernatural life, of the Spirit-led life. Galatians 5:25 in the New King James Version says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So living and walking. Living and walking. If you've given your life to Jesus, if you profess to be a Christian, you remember that time and you surrendered your life to Jesus, gave your life to him. I did that actually Christmas Day. I'm coming up to my 40th anniversary. 40 years this Christmas. Yeah, 40. My family thought it was a phase. My dad was hoping it was a phase, longest phase I've ever been in. 40 years. It's actually Morley Assemblies of God. You know, Morley, Pastor Chris May was, and I took myself to church. I'm brought up Italian Catholic. I took myself to church because I was hungry. I was searching. I tried all sorts of stuff, Eastern stuff. In hindsight, some downright occultish stuff, but tried astral travel. I didn't get anywhere, but I tried. But I would have said I was looking for a cause. Yeah, anyone who can relate, I was looking for the meaning of life. And I am one of the like 1% who responded to a newspaper advertisement. Pastors will tell you, this is the truth, isn't it? Most people do not come to church as a result of advertising. They will come because of personal connection. Because they're right. But I am one of the few who literally thought, I want to go to church, but I don't want to go to what I've been used to. I'm not against the Catholic Church. It just wasn't speaking to me where I was at in that season. And I remember looking through the paper, and this one, I lived in North Perth, Morley, not that far. And I drove and took myself to church. And I was expecting, it was Christmas Day. I was expecting to hear about baby Jesus, Mary, Joseph. Christmas story, right? But Pastor Chris actually preached from John 10:10. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And for me, the light switched on. Anyone watch the Blues Brothers? Anyone know the Blues Brothers? Some of the younger generation don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about that. But, you know, like those guys, I saw the light. I mean, I literally did. Abundant life. Abundant life. It's like, that's what I want. I never would have articulated it like that. Abundant life. And there actually wasn't an opportunity to receive Jesus in the service. But as I walked out the door of the church, the pastor wished me a Merry Christmas, and I just burst into tears. I was just so overcome. And it wasn't just what I heard that day, it's what I felt. It was probably the first time I actually had an encounter with the presence of God. You know, it was like, and this was only it's quite a small church relatively, but oh man, there was something there. And so, as I walked out the door of the church, the pastor wished me Merry Christmas. I burst into tears. And so he asked me the question. I'm going to ask you this right from the outset. He said, have you given your life to Jesus? Wow. Given your life to Jesus? Or have you given your life to Christ? Something like that. I didn't understand the question, to be honest. You've got to understand. I wasn't raised in that culture. I hadn't been hearing that invitation Sunday, day in and day out. And I thought, well, I've been christened. First Holy Communion confirmed. 3 times that I know of, right? So I said, well, I think so. I think so. But if you think so and don't know so, probably haven't so. And so he seized the moment. He's a bit of an evangelist, Pastor Chris May. Seized the moment, led me in a prayer right there at the door of the church. I didn't understand, to be honest, exactly what was taking place. I didn't understand. I hadn't done an Alpha course. I hadn't, you know, done any new Christians. I didn't All I knew is that there was something within me was like, whatever this is, and Jesus, if this is true, that you are the source of life, I'd seen Jesus on the cross every day of my school education. I had never, ever connected that to life. Wow. Ever. Wow. I thought, hello, Jesus, goodbye, life. And so I prayed the prayer, and all I knew was that there was this huge vacuum on the inside of me, and I was just inviting God and giving Him control of my life. And I know that becoming born again, becoming a follower of Jesus is not about a feeling, but I felt something. For me, I had a very significant born again experience, and it was like this weight lifted off me, and it was just something. It was like, what happened? This is what happened. I relocated from death to life, from darkness to light. And this is what happens when you gave your life to Jesus. That's what happened to you. Because 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that he or she who joins themselves to the Lord becomes one spirit with God. One spirit. So this is what happened to you. Some of you don't realize what happened. You got born again. You gave your life to Jesus. You came to the altar. You prayed a prayer somewhere. You didn't realize that at that moment, the Holy Spirit came into your spirit and bam, you're one spirit with God. So now you are seated in heavenly places, not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. Not because of what you can do, but because of what Jesus has done for you. This is the good news today. This is what I want to make you aware of. What you already have. And you already have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And what's more, people think that they can somehow get more of God by praying more, reading their Bible more, fasting more. But you do not earn the right to be filled with His Spirit and to experience abundant life because of your spiritual works. Now we pray and we fast and we read the Bible for different reasons. To know Him. And to actual fact, to maximize what we already have. To find out that which He's already purchased for us. Some of you right now need to get set free from this idea of Christian works. From this idea of, God, I'm not spiritual enough. I break right now the fear of not being spiritual enough. Somebody got to feel, I'm not worthy enough. I'm not spiritual enough. And you kind of put yourself in like some sort of class system. And you look at like people who are, you know, who are the pastors. You look at Pastors Ken and Chrissy. You think, oh, they're the fourth part of the Trinity. Oh, wow. Like they're, you know. And you think, oh, they're way up there. Oh, but some of you think, oh, but Vicky, you don't know what I've done. Oh, Vicky, you don't know I've got issues. Join the club. Hello? Join the club. And it's a religious idea that you have to have somehow this track record of perfect performance to be worthy enough to experience God, to experience all that He has purchased for you on the cross. That's the good news. That's the point. You can be a total buffet and you can be filled with the Spirit of God. No, I'm not giving license for sin. But this is grace. That's the point of grace. That is good news. Oh, that's too much. That's the point. Came at a big price. Came at a big price. And those of you who've given your life to Jesus, you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You are one with Him, one spirit with God. So you are alive in the Spirit. Paul says to the Galatians, if you live in the Spirit, right? So you are already living in the Spirit. Did you know that? You're living in the Spirit. If you're born again, you're living in the Spirit. So this morning I woke up. Good news, right? Thank God for that. I woke up. But do you know what? I had done nothing during the course of the night to keep myself alive. That was just automatic. Praise God. The heart kept beating. Whatever was automatic was automatically working. I was alive. I woke up alive. You woke up this morning alive. Now, walking is another thing, however. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's also walk. So when I woke up this morning, alive. But I had to choose to walk. So And you are empowered to walk in the Spirit because you are alive in the Spirit. Oh, gee, this is good stuff, eh? I mean, that really excites me. And this is the thing God wants you, Nations Church, to focus on, is this thing living in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit as ministers, those who minister full time. 1 Corinthians 6:17, who's joined to the Lord is one spirit with God. Ephesians 2:6, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places. Because we are united with Christ Jesus. Because we're united with Christ Jesus, we're in heavenly places. So in recent decades, probably the last 20, 25 years, there's been a real fear in the Pentecostal church of being super spiritual. Isn't that, it's a fact, right? Don't want to be a super spiro. And it's like this idea that you can have too much of God's Spirit. And we've ripped ourselves off. If you have a fear of being super spiritual, let me just say a couple of things. Firstly, it's too late. It's too late. You're seated in heavenly places. Right? Right, okay. The other thing is this. What turns a lot of people off and then is defined, labeled as super spiritual usually isn't spiritual at all. You know, it's usually someone trying to be spiritual by works of the flesh. You know, so it's religious. But as you read the book of Acts, people, visitations of angels, hearing the voice of God in such detail that they know what street to go to, they know what instructions they receive from God. When you just read the miracles of people who are healed and raised from the dead, the disciples of Jesus, that I really believe that's what God is restoring. That's what he is restoring. And it's not as hard as you think. Romans 8:14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So being Spirit-led, living in the Spirit, is about relationship. Because you're children. Yeah, because of your relationship with the Father. That's what qualifies you to be Spirit-led. It's not for just Christians who are mystical, and they're just a bit wide that way. Some of us are, you know, because there are gifts, you know, and there's a Romans 12 motivational gift that is prophecy. So they tend to be the people who are like, I saw that coming, you know. We've just always had that bit of, actually, be honest, my motivational gift is encouragement. I wasn't prophetic anything, so I got filled with the Holy Spirit. So I had 1 Corinthians 12 and now I'm Ephesians 4. But there are people who are a bit more like that, but it doesn't exclude those of you who might have a leadership gift, you might have a service gift, you might be a giving gift, you might have a mercy gift. You know, it doesn't exclude you because it's the children of God. And being led by the Spirit is not just for people who, oh, they're not so intelligent that they only can do kind of spiritual stuff and not intellectual stuff. That's actually a thing. I hear people say, oh, you know, well, my kids aren't into, you know, like coming to a Spirit-filled church because, you know, they're thinkers. You know, they're smart, my kids. They're intelligent. It really peeves me, mate. It gets on my goat, I tell you. The idea that if you're spiritual, Spirit-led, supernatural, that somehow you're not as smart. Oh, give me a break. It's for children. It's for children. Children. It's not for those who are extroverts. Hey, just not those who are risk takers. It's for extroverts. It's not for extroverts. Sorry. It's for children. It's for children. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. You hear his voice. Can I have the worship team return, please? You hear his voice. You hear his voice. The Spirit-led life. Living by the Spirit includes hearing the voice of God. That's a part of your salvation package, right? Doesn't matter who you are. That's a part. It's not about, oh, I've got to fast and pray to hear the voice of God. So many Christians live life as if God's up there and they're down here. Oh, I need to know the will of God. I need to know your will. And they think it's got to travel like through the hemispheres, the stratospheres, like a long way away. God's on the inside of you. One spirit with God. And his voice is on the inside of you. Once you've got Jesus in there, the Holy Spirit's in there, right? He doesn't leave, right? Unless you're going to kick him out. That's a whole other story. I won't mess with people's theology or whatever, but we won't go there. But you've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. Not just being a Bible college sheep. Not just in, you know, ordained sheep. Sheep. Not just older sheep or younger sheep. Sheep. Not, you know, perfect complexion, size, 8 sheep, got big guns, sheep. Sheep. Just sheep. My. See, it's that relationship thing again. Jesus said, so if you are a follower of the shepherd, you are a sheep and you hear his voice. Not maybe, not possibly, not perhaps, potentially. You hear his voice. Oh, no, I don't. Yes, you do. Bible says you do. You either don't recognize his voice or you just haven't learned how to listen. And some of this is what I discover. And I could go on. This is like my favorite verse in the Bible. I could just go on and on and on about this verse. But this is what I just find. So many people are hearing from God that they think it's them. So they're praying, oh God, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. God gives them an idea, gives them wisdom. Oh, well, that's just me, isn't it? Is that me? Or is that you? No, that's just me. What makes you think you're so smart? So many of us give ourselves far too much credit. You're praying and you're asking the Lord, well, what if it's the devil? I'm not praying to the devil, are you? I don't pray to the devil. Jesus said, if you ask for bread, I'm not going to give you a stone. If you ask for fish, I'm not going to give you a serpent. He loves to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Some of you, this is what I just saw. Some of you, there are gifts lined up for you in 2021, but they are awaiting your asking. And I see people's desires being connected with an ask. Whatsoever thing, now, where is it? Whatsoever things you ask. Matthew 6, I can't remember. It's been a long time since I've preached this one. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. I don't know about you. I don't pray for anything I don't desire. And there are desires. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I feel like God is speaking to people through desires. See, he talks to us in all sorts of different ways. And some of you have been suppressing desires. Oh, that can't be God. Oh, what? Remember, you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. One spirit with God. Oh, my heart is wicked above all else. Who can know? No, that was before you were born again. Now Jesus is in your heart. It can't be wicked above all else. If it's got Jesus in your heart, that's a bit of a messed up heart, right? Jesus is in your heart. And so desire, he speaks through desires. And some of you have got latent desires. Some of you have wrestled with desire. Some of you haven't known. Is it okay to desire that? Oh, gee, Vicky, I would love so much to pray for the sick people here. Oh, I've got a desire to build something in the community that's going to glorify God. Oh, I've got a desire, you know, to win people to Jesus. Oh, no, but I don't want to just, you know, what if I'm just, you know, pushing myself forward? What if I'm, no, okay. They're good desires, right? If any of your desires want to do, if they are desires, they're going to bless people, build the kingdom. If their desires are going to glorify God, I've got news for you. They're godly desires. Oh, what if it's just me? My flesh isn't that holy. My flesh doesn't give a rip about anybody else, to be honest. I've got news for you. Neither does yours. Flesh is just concerned about self. And this is the good news. The Apostle Paul said, whether you preach Christ with the right motive or a bad motive, let Christ be preached. I'm not saying I've ever had 100% pure, perfect motives the whole course of my Christian life. In fact, I remember a day I attended a church just down the road from here, and I was a woman in a church that didn't let women preach. And I felt the call of God in my life. I'd be sitting just like you are, listening to the preacher, thinking, I could do better than that. It's the truth. Isn't any wonder God waited till I was 30? It's like he had to knock it out of me, you know? And so we're human, we're earthen vessels. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient as ministers, as ministers. Oh, Father, I see right now ministry being released through different people here. I see just so many different colors and expressions, manifestations of the glory of God in different places. Father God, I thank you. I just sense an activation here today, an activation of those desires. Some of you need to come into agreement with those desires. What was your name again? I met you out there. Hannah, come into agreement with those desires. I hear the Lord saying, don't stress anymore. Don't be in angst and just make peace with it. I'm coming to agreement with it and I'm going to lean into it and I'm going to develop it and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And I'm seeing branches growing off you. You're a healthy tree, but it's been a bit stunted, and I'm seeing it breaking through, a branch here, a branch there, fruitful vine. You're like Joseph. Hannah, Joseph, who was a fruitful vine who went over the wall. It's not just within the house. I'm seeing you with influence amongst, I'm seeing youth work, ministry amongst young people out in the community. Fruitful over the wall in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.